a lot of things happening around here that you may not even be aware of. There's digging going on in the back. There was holes. Howard said the neighbors were asking if we were building a swimming pool back there. It's a new sewer system, a new water holding system in preparation for the new worship center that we'll be building in the future. If you haven't been back that way, go take a look. I encourage you to do that. There's all kinds of deep holes with block being laid and cement being poured. And this last week we started, we just obtained the purchase of the new lot adjoining us, the parking lot back there. And Luis and Benito have been working all week with machetes back there, chopping down brush, just whoosh, whoosh, whoosh all week long. And yesterday a backhoe came in and dug out all the roots and started leveling it all out. And just encourage you, as you're driving out the parking lot, just make a swing back there this morning and take a look at what's happening. Lots of good things are happening behind the scenes, and we're so thankful for all your faithful support, your financial support of Touch San Carlos and our ministry expansion campaign, where every man, woman, and child will have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe by faith and be born again into the kingdom of God. That's what we're about, and that's what we do here at San Carlos Community Church. American, North American, Mexican, whatever God wherever God wants to connect us with people to see their souls changed by the gospel, the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're so excited about that. Well, we've been in a series these last few weeks talking about walking in the Spirit. The whole book of Galatians is justified by faith alone in Christ alone. And we're living in a world these days where that message gets so watered down and so twisted and turned. And there's a creeping away from the center of the gospel into other things. And little idols pop up and little gods try to pop up. And things like Mormonism, which is a big thing in the news these days because of the presidential election in the United States. And in a few weeks, I'm going to talk about two issues that I see are very relevant. What is it about Mormonism that should be believed or not believed? Embraced or not embraced? Embraced or rejected? Where's the gospel in Mormonism? Does it exist in that? And the other issue that's high on the burner is, what about Israel? And should we as nations embrace Israel? And why is it that the scripture says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Is that still for today? And I'm going to be talking about that in a couple, 3 weeks here when we finish up this series of walking in the Spirit. Well, today's sermon is a continuation of last Sunday. And remember, I said last Sunday I was too afraid to preach this message because I just wasn't sure about it. But I painted you a picture. Do you remember the picture? Lower room, upper room, inside of us. We have inside of us, as believers, a lower room and an upper room. The lower room is where our flesh lives. You know the flesh. It's those snakes that Larry Crabb describes as creeping up your leg all the time, trying to crawl up. And I just can't. That's become such a good analogy for me. The snakes crawling up your leg. When the flesh begins to take control of your life. And in the lower room, we're so comfortable. You know, there's all this furniture, and we work so hard to decorate our lower room, and the couch is there, and when you look at the couch, you can see the imprint where you sit all the time. It's the couch of pride. And the ottoman's there. It's the ottoman of self-satisfaction. You can lay on your couch with your feet up and go, ah, isn't life good, this kingdom that I've built? And there's the pictures on the wall of nudeness and lewdness and pornography and the things of pride taking over, where you're better than someone else and your picture's hanging up there because it's so good, you're so good looking. Oh yeah, and the carpet on the floor, which represents all the people that you walk over in this life. You know who I'm talking about. The people you judge and think that you're more superior to than they are. People that you feel better about yourself because you've trampled on them. the people that you've condemned maliciously with your mouth and said, well, what's wrong with that person? It's a little bit of pride, and it's the stuff that raises up the snakes crawling up your leg when you can walk across somebody else's life. Well, you know, I've thought a lot about this walking in the Spirit by walking away from the flesh. And I'm absolutely convinced that there's got to be a balance here that I've got to get my head around as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's got to be a balance between what God does in my life as He declares me not guilty when I come by faith to Jesus Christ. Remember, we're justified. And He fills me with His Holy Spirit. He baptizes me with the Holy Spirit, and He brings me into the kingdom of God. And at that moment of baptizing me with the Holy Spirit, I'm indwelt by the Spirit. The Spirit takes up residence inside of me. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing my inheritance until the day that Jesus returns in the end. And I'm also filled with the Holy Spirit. And we learned a couple weeks ago, the filling of the Holy Spirit is an ongoing process. I just don't walk continually with the Spirit in my life. And times when the snake crawls up my leg of my flesh, I break the fellowship with God, and I need to be refilled again with the Holy Spirit. It's not that the Holy Spirit leaves me. He's indwelling me, and He sealed me. But it's that I've walked away from Him. I've broken the fellowship and relationship with God by the way that I've acted in the flesh. So, where's this balance between what God does and what I am commanded to do? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. But before we do that, I'm going to invite my friend Luis to come up here, because I want you to hear his testimony of what God has done to bring this man out of the flesh into a walk with the Spirit of the living God. And 9 months ago, God got a hold of his life in the most powerful way, and we're so thankful for him. Would you welcome Luis?
Good. Good morning, everybody. Buenos días. Estoy muy contento por lo que Cristo está haciendo en mi vida. I'm very happy what God is doing in my vida. Entonces, 9 months I had clean for the first time in my life after being doing drugs for 23 years in my vida, for 23 years in my life. Then for today I feel a new person. See, it's personally, I think everybody feel the same because we are Christianos. And I feel new, different person, everything. Todo starting for the corazón and the heart hacia afuera, inside. Pero I think I came here in January 8th to the school, pero I was scared because to ashamed to do the old habit that I have. In the past, I think I say myself, I don't know what to do in the escuela, pero dice, Jesus, He knows because I had new things in my life. I wanted to change the, I don't wanted the same life that I have before. So He knows us, everybody. He knows our desire on our corazón. And I was scared because he said, no, my brain no funciona, no sirve, because my thing I do in the past. But today I realize mucho things that Jesus make all the things new. He make all things nueva. See, He doing in my life, so I experience that part. So I give you gracias to all the people because they support my books when I was in the escuela. Give you gracias de escuela también. I give you thanks to the school because it helped me to be in the track, see, to be fuerte with Jesus. Thank you for all your prayers, because I know people not only hear with money, hear with the praise and all kinds of things. So I feel nueva persona, I give you gracias to Jesucristo, and he fixed it to do more things in my life. Now I have 4 students in my casa, and the people start coming by themselves. I put in my car, Jesús te ama, and they stop in the house and start talking about Jesus. Then I put music in the house too. The people stop by the cell, can they hear the music, and they stop. The place where I live is the main street. See, and all people coming and go all day. So, plus my mama is afuera too, reading his Bible. When they not hear the music, they see mama, where is Luis? See? So Jesus has a very good plan for all, for everybody. See, entonces, it's my first time that I talk in the microphone.
Very good, good.
Muchas gracias to everybody. Thank you for all your prayers, see, for all your support. And I'm very happy I feel new person in Cristo.
Good job. Good, good. How are you doing? I just want to ask you a couple of questions because I want them to hear specifically the change that took place.
Okay.
You asked Christ into your heart years ago, right? Some time ago.
Sí.
I mean, just not 9 months ago, but it was way before that.
2003.
2003, you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. But 9 months ago, when you came and enrolled in the school here, and Luis was here for 3.5 months studying the Word of God and just saturating 5 days a week living here at the school, saturating his mind with the Word of God. But 9 months ago, something really changed.
Yep, see?
You gave up what?
My heart to him.
You gave your heart, but what did you give up?
All
the drugs.
My old habit, my drugs.
The flesh of the drugs.
The flesh.
He would still, even though he gave his heart to the Lord in 2003, was still hooked on marijuana and smoking marijuana constantly.
Smoking for, I know can live 30 minutes, I had to smoke my cigars every 30 minutes for 23
years.
Sí, entonces, I remember when I was in my room by myself, asking to Jesus, please help me with this thing, I no can do it with the carne, with the flesh, sí, no se puede, we need to ask him the ayuda de Cristo, sí. Then, now, I understand all the things. Sí, I understand one thing, okay, Jesus, Jesucristo nos mira, he sees us, and he escucha to us.
He sees and he hears.
Yep.
Yes.
Because he is delivered. I never can do it by myself. When I want to do it by myself, it only 2-3 days, I go back to the same habits. See, but
How free do you feel today versus back in 2003?
Muy diferente.
Muy diferente.
Very, very different. I experience personal, sí. Entonces, my mama is very happy because he see me how when I come to the church, then he otra vez to smoke. Y the other day he told me, Luis, I think now it's seriously weird. Sí, entonces.
And people see the change in you.
Yep.
Your mama, but your neighbors are coming to your house.
They come by the cell.
And what do they ask you? Luis, what's happened in your life?
I say, Jesucristo, sí.
Yeah.
Jesucristo, sí. I told them, he changed me, he can change everybody. See, and they're laughing, see, but they see it different in my face, or the always happy, laughing, they can see it through the eyes, see, entonces.
And people are coming to you to be discipled and to know the Lord Jesus, and you're teaching them every week, you have classes, and you have people who you're discipling, right?
I have 4 regulars, and I give a study Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Wow,
and
praise God.
Last Tuesday, I had a little boy new, years old, and he came to my house, so please, I want to know God. Sí, he
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Then he was very happy. But that day I had students, all students. Today I had people, I had 3 people today. Huh. Because I asked him what they choose a day, because I had Martes, I don't know how to say in English, Martes,
Monday.
jueves and Saturday and domingo. Right now, he told me, sí, pero people are like, no, right now. Then he came yesterday. See, I give you a little, but no study, no, but we talk about Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
He's 8 years old. His mama, his grandma, they are very happy because he always talking with me. See, he said, Luis, why you give it to Israel? His name is Israel. No, but he wants to know about God. People, like I say, where I live is a main street. People passing all the time, see, and they know me for when I was in the drugs. I selling drugs too. There's nothing to be proud. And they stop. They see it. What Jesus is doing in mi vida. Entonces, esto es, he's doing more and more every día, see. So I feel it in mi corazón.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray for our brother. Father, we're just so grateful for the transformation you've performed in his heart and life. Thank you for the newness that he's walking in the Spirit. Thank you for his willingness to lay down the flesh, Lord, and to let go of what was holding him in bondage. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you've set him free, and it was for freedom that you died to set Luis free. And we're so grateful he's embraced that freedom, and the change that you have brought about in his life, that not only is he feeling and Heidi is seeing, but the whole town and community around him is seeing. His family, his neighbors, his friends, Father. God, would you continue to burn brightly inside of him as he testifies of your glory and your grace, as he teaches the word of God to the people that you're bringing to him, Father. Give him the words to speak and the heart and the passion and compassion and love with which to speak it. Father, we bless you for our dear brother here and for Heidi as well. And God, thanks for the new life you give us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank
and
you.
Amen. Give him an applause, will you please? Thanks, Luis. That's not easy to do, and I'm proud of you for doing that today. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 in the red Bibles in front of you. It's page 975. Let's talk about this morning for a few minutes this balance between what God commands, what God does, and what I'm commanded to do. Galatians 5:16 again is our framework text from which we're operating from. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. There's the crux. The Spirit commands us to live one way, and the flesh is trying its best to keep us from doing what we know to be right. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. When we read the Scriptures, there's such a similarity of terminology that we come across in Paul's writing, from Jesus, from Peter's writings and John's writing. For instance, Paul says, walk in the Spirit, be walking in the Spirit at all the time. We read in John 15, Jesus says, abide in Christ. We read, be filled or controlled by the Spirit, Paul writes in Ephesians 5:18. We read from the Gospel or from John's epistles, we need to walk in the light and have fellowship in the light. They're all synonyms. And there's probably other terms that fit in this exact same category. We often hear about the Spirit-filled life. Or we hear about the sanctified life, or the the yielded life, or the anointed life, or the walking in fellowship with God. It's impossible to try and take those terms one by one and sort them out into individual activities of the believer, because they're not. When they're all pointing to the exact same thing. They're pointing to walking in the Spirit, in communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, having intimate relationship with the living God who has redeemed us and purchased us through His Son. But see, the same question, the great question still remains, how is it that I walk in the Spirit? I mean, how do I do this? And to answer this question, I think we have to go all the way back to the beginning of the Scriptures. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, the very first book of the Bible. It's page 3 in the Red Bibles. Genesis chapter 3. Well, we find this scene in the Garden of Eden. God has established and created Adam. He's put him in this garden called Eden. It's a most beautiful place to be. And He's commanded him to rule over it and to care for it and to tender it. And when there wasn't a suitable helper for Adam in all the animal kingdom, God created Eve and brought her to him, and she was a delight in Adam's eyes, and it was all good. God called it all good in His creation. And in the garden, on a daily basis, God was meeting Adam and Eve there, having relationship and fellowship with them. Look, we see this picture of God walking in the Garden of Eden. God created man for fellowship. He created man to be able to walk with Him and to enjoy Him. And we get the sense of this from Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Would you look at verse 8 with me? And they heard the sound of the Lord, they being Adam and Eve, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Does he understand here from this, just this one single verse, that it was a daily experience for Adam and Eve to fellowship and to walk with the Lord God in the garden in the cool of the day? It was God who made it possible for them that they could walk together in relationship. And it's also important to understand from the whole story of Genesis that it was up to man to maintain that walk. Did you hear that? It was up to Adam and Eve to maintain that walk and that relationship. God wasn't going anywhere. He was there all the time. He was there every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God was on the job. He was there in presence with them in the garden. But it was up to Adam and Eve to maintain the walk. The walk was maintained through their obedience to God's command. You say, well, Rich, where do you get that from? Well, turn back to chapter 2 with me, verse 17 here. Chapter 2, verse 17. For it says there, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So it was up to Adam and Eve to walk with the Lord, to obey the command of God, not to eat what they shouldn't eat, not to go where they shouldn't go, not to take hold of what they shouldn't hold. No snakes allowed to crawl up their legs in the flesh. And as long as there was no sin in the garden, man was able indeed to walk in right relationship with the Lord. But when sin entered, man had to confess his sin in order to restore the fellowship, in order to walk rightly with God. I don't know if you remember Romans chapter 5, verse 12, but sin entered through one man, Adam, so that all sinned and all died, it says. See, we're under the condemnation of God because through Adam's disobedience, we have inherited and are born with a sin nature. Sin entered through one man, so therefore all died, for all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God because of that sin nature. And that's still the truth for us today. We still need to confess our sin in order to maintain our walk and our relationship with the living God. God has provided us salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man's responsibility? To accept that provision of salvation and then to walk in relationship as the Holy Spirit has indwelled us. Because remember John 17, where Jesus said, I'm going to send you another, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will live in you and He will dwell with you. I need to leave so that I can send another Helper who will live in you. Man's responsibility is to maintain the walk with God. Well, the question becomes in this balance is, how is my walk with the Holy Spirit broken then? How is this walk broken? Well, when I'm disobedient, when I fall back into sin, when I allow the flesh, the snake, to begin to crawl up my leg and take control of me. I break the fellowship and the walk with God, just like Adam and Eve did, when sin hinders me and it breaks the filling of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's an ongoing filling. Walk with God, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fall into the flesh, the walk with God is broken. Need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit again. Confess my sin, I'm refilled and anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit again. There's this continual walking with the Lord and this continual fellowship that we're called to, but certainly as we go through life, because sin still reigns in my life, even though I've been born again by Jesus Christ, I still have this old flesh that wants to crawl up my leg. You know what? As I was sitting here singing praise songs this morning, the flesh tried to crawl up my leg a couple times. Suddenly these random thoughts go through your head. You know what I'm talking about. It comes out of nowhere. And you go, oh, no way, I'm not going there, Lord. I'm worshiping You right now. I'm not going down that path. Well, God makes restoration for us possible that we can indeed walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. 1 John 1:9, if we confess or agree with God about our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How is my walk with the Spirit broken? It's broken, get this, by my unwillingness to confess the sin that's in my life. And that's part of the flesh too. That's another snake crawling up your leg. Your unwillingness, or shall we call it your pride, our pride, that I will not confess what I know to be true that exists in my life. Paul says the same thing about this confession in other texts in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, put off your old self. Get rid of it. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, be filled again in the Holy Spirit. Put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. He says in Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Shake that snake off your leg and get rid of it. Put it to death. Stomp on the head of that sucker so that it doesn't have control of you. You want to know? You really want to know what the key is to walking in the Spirit You really want to know what the key is to moving from the lower room into the upper room where God is and the glory of God is shining brightly and where you can experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in your life? You really want to know? Here's the answer. The simplicity of walking in the Spirit is to have no known sin in my life. No known sin. Anything that I'm aware of, I'm physically and mentally aware of, I need to get it out and confess it and put it before the Lord and say, God, Jesus, you redeemed this. I'm letting go of it, like Luis, who let go of smoking marijuana 9 months ago, and he's experiencing the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life like he's never experienced it before. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah. Just like I told you a few weeks ago in my own personal struggle as a young man with pornography, when I laid it out there and I confessed it and I knew it existed, and you know what? I'd confessed it several times, many times, more times, and I'd weep tears over it. But when I began to do what God commanded me and I physically turned away from it, and I confessed it to Karen. And I said, this is going on in my life. I want you aware of it. I want you to hold me accountable for it. This is what we're going to do. We're not going to go into secular bookstores anymore by myself. If I go in there, you're going with me, or I don't go in that secular bookstore anymore. I don't stand in the cash register lines at the supermarket and gaze at those ungodly magazines all the time. I turn around and I turn my back and I look at other things and other people. I don't browse the aisles in Kmart and Walmart and Target in the book aisles anymore by myself. I don't go down those aisles. I stay away from them. I don't go places on the internet, and thank God I haven't done that, and I don't. That's not an issue in my life, but for many people, men and women alike, the internet is a big, big problem. You know how you get over that? You go to your computer security settings and you set it on the highest possible rating, and you will get warned or you will be stopped before you go to the place where you shouldn't be going. Praise God for things like that. And if that isn't, there's software you can get to install on your computer to stop you from going to places you shouldn't be going. And yet someone else can hold you accountable to it. The simplicity of walking in the Spirit is to have no known sin in my life. Just like Adam and Eve knew they were naked and they were ashamed because they'd sinned, so also you and I always know when we sin as well. And that known sin in my life, understands, breaks my walk with the Holy Spirit. It breaks my relationship with God. And He hates that. God hates it when we destroy that walk and break that fellowship. And He doesn't want that. And He sent the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit so that doesn't have to be that way in your life and my life. We can be in sweet communion and fellowship and walk with Him. And the good news is, when I confess my sin and I begin walking in the Spirit, therefore I will begin experiencing the many fillings of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, instead of being controlled with the characteristics like being drunk with wine and those kinds of things. I don't want to live like that, do you? I want to live controlled by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit in all the fruits of the Spirit. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit, but when we don't, what we do is fulfill the lust of the flesh, and the snakes are crawling up our legs, taking control of our lives. We're commanded as believers to walk in the light, John would say, because walking in the darkness is sin. And the man who says he has no sin, John says, is a liar and the truth is not in him. The only way, I'll say it one more time, the only way my relationship with the Holy Spirit is broken, who indwells me, is because of knowing sin in my life. And the way that we conquer that is to live with no known sin inside of us. I love this verse in Titus because it reminds us of the power of God. Paul wrote to Titus, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-control and upright and godly lives in this present age." We have a teacher who teaches us in Jesus how to live through the instruction of the Holy Spirit. While we wait for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And look at verse 14. "Who gave himself for what purpose? For us to redeem us from all the wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." You see, when we're obedient to God's commands, our obedience allows the Holy Spirit to free the freedom to work in our lives. And that's exactly what Luis is experiencing these days. As he walks in obedience with God, people all around him are saying, "What has happened to your life, Luis? What has happened?" And they come to him asking for instruction and wanting to know about the Lord Jesus in his life. We're not talking about salvation here. Let's be very, very clear about this. Salvation has already occurred. That's a past event. That's already happened. You've come to the cross, to the foot of the cross. You've repented of your sin nature to the Lord Jesus. You've asked him to save you. You've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. He's transferred you into the kingdom of God, out of the kingdom of this world. You've been justified by God, declared not guilty. You're all right with God. That's what justification means. You're right with God. Salvation has happened. You've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He's taken up residence and is living in you. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. And you've put in this kingdom of God, you're now on a new walk, the walk of holiness, or what the Bible calls sanctification. The confession of sin here, what we're talking about this morning, has to do with my walking in the Spirit and my maintaining that fellowship with the Holy Spirit as I live my life now from that point on. It's about walking in love with the God who has purchased you and redeemed you and loves you so much that he would live in your life and take up residence inside of you. Well, I can hear the wheels turning, and I'm almost out of time, but maybe I can give you very quickly a little more theological foundation for this. I'm trying to do that every week. I want to build your understanding of how this works and why it's true what we're trying to teach you this morning. I mean, you can ask the question, and I probably hear the wheels turning, is that all I have to do to walk in the Spirit? Is just to get rid of all known sin in my life? And the answer for the most part, and I stress most part, is yes. Yes. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 6, if you would, this morning. Page 943. Romans chapter 6, page 943. See, we must understand that as believers, we do not have to sin. Did you hear that? As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I do not have to commit sin. We just do not have to sin. Paul makes that very, very clear to us here in Romans chapter 6. Now, I don't know if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we looked at this chapter in the beginning where it talks about that when we're baptized with Christ into his death and we're raised up with Christ into resurrected life, we're given new life. We're given all new identity with Christ. Verse 7 here in chapter 6 says, "For one who has died has been set free from sin." When Christ died and I gave him my heart, I died with him. And when Christ raised up from the grave and the resurrection, I was raised up in new life, resurrected life with him. And Paul makes it very clear that, verse 7, when we've died with Christ, we've been set free from sin. Now, go down to verse 11. And this is our text. Because you've been set free from sin, verse 11, "So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you. You are not under the law, but you're under grace." You see, what Paul is saying there is this. Positionally, in verse 11, I am dead to sin when I'm in Jesus Christ by faith. That's being justified. Remember, justified means declared not guilty, declared right with God. Paul says, positionally, because I've been buried with Christ into his death and I've been resurrected with him into new life, I am dead to sin, verse 11. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin. Practically, how does that work out? Practically, Paul says in verse 11, I am alive then to God in Christ Jesus. I'm indwelt and filled and anointed and sealed with the Holy Spirit, and I'm sanctified. I'm on a new path, the path of holiness that I'm now walking on. I'm sanctified with God. I'm not the old man I used to be or the old woman. We're in newness. We're alive to God. I'm dead to sin positionally. Practically, in my everyday living, I'm alive to God. Look at verse 14 then. "For sin will have no dominion over you." I don't have to sin. Sin has no control over me. It has no... control is the best word. It has no control over me. It'll have no dominion over you since you're not under the law, but you're now under grace, verse 14. And then look at verse 12. "Therefore," in verse 12, "let not sin reign in your mortal body." Don't let the snakes crawl up your leg to make you obey its passion. Are you with me? What I'm trying to teach you is this. Rich Hubert, you can live this life and you do not have to sin. You may choose to, and you will choose to, but you don't have to. You do not have to sin. And verse 13 says, "I should not yield the members of my body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but rather present your members to God as instruments for righteousness." Why? Because you've been brought from death to life. I don't have to sin because I'm alive in Jesus Christ. And that's new life. And that's the very thing Luis is testifying to us about this morning. There is new life in Jesus Christ. Paul says the same thing in the book of Galatians earlier in chapter 2. He says, "For through the law I died to the law." Why? "So that I might live to God." He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's not I who live any longer, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave Himself up for me. You see, because I'm alive in Christ, what we're learning here, and because the Holy Spirit dwells richly inside of me, I can make right choices. I don't have to utter unkind words to my spouse. I don't have to live with a critical spirit about somebody else. I don't have to trample over the rug of people's lives trying to feel better about myself by putting other people down. I don't have to live with unforgiveness in my life because I shall not offer the members of my body to unrighteousness, but I'll offer myself as a living sacrifice to God, which is holy and pleasing, a spiritual act of worship, Romans 12:1-2. You're either going to walk out of this door in one of two persuasions this morning. You're going to walk out of here in new life, realizing that there's a hope beyond hope that's been planted in you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can walk indeed in the Spirit and have fellowship with the Spirit and have victory over sin in your life. Or you will walk out that door the way you walked in here, still with the snakes crawling up your leg, time after time after time, you allowing your flesh to keep you in the lower room, when all the while God is inviting you to the upper room where the light of the glory of God is shining. And He so wants you to put your hand on the door handle and open the door to that room and come in and fellowship with Him. Get rid of all known sin in your life, and you will walk in the Spirit. Let's pray together. We're so grateful, as Paul said, that if we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. Lord, what a great position that You have established us in. And that when we belong to Christ, we've crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Thank You for that, Lord. Thank You for the power of the cross. And thank You for the command that if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Lord, help us. Help us to make the ever-conscious, ever-present decision that we need to make to walk away from our flesh, to stomp on the head of the snakes, and to walk in sweet communion and fellowship with You today. I pray for all my friends who are here this morning, Lord. What a precious, precious place You have offered us in Your presence like this. What a precious walk that we could fulfill and embrace as You've commanded us to, if we're willing to lay it all down for You. God, help us to lay it down. God, in the Holy Spirit's power and strength, help us by faith to lay it all down and to let go. Lord, by faith, help us to walk with our eyes on You. God, when we feel the snakes, help us to shake them off and say, no more. You're not having that. Get away from me. Get thee behind me, Satan. Lord, in Your mercy, and in Your grace, there is newness of life, for which we're so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.